I want to welcome all of you to St. John's Episcopal Church on this glorious Easter morning. Whether you are a parishioner, a family member of a parishioner, a member of the wider Versailles-Lexington community, or simply a visitor from another place, we are blessed that you are here in our beautiful and historic church, one that welcomes all people to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, I want to speak briefly with you about the passion I have for what I believe is at the heart of the Christian gospel, the heart of Christ's resurrection, and the driving force behind our searching in life, our searching on this thing that we call the Christian spiritual journey. That is, that the Christian faith and journey is not about learning about Jesus Christ, but rather it is about coming to know Jesus. Coming to know Jesus and living in his gift of forgiveness, his gift of peace, his gift of grace every day in your life. Early on in my priesthood, when I was working late one evening in my office at Holy Trinity in Decatur, Georgia, I received a call from my wife, Ellen, saying that she had just received a call at the house for me, saying that there had been a terrible accident. The grandmother of an active and dedicated family of Holy Trinity was asking for me. A car had just hit her 5-year-old grandson as he chased a soccer ball in the parking lot adjoining the soccer field where his older brother was playing. I immediately phoned her only to discover that this precious 5-year-old, John Marshall, had just died. She asked if I would come to her daughter-in-law and son-in-law's house to be with the family. And as I arrived at her daughter's house, the parents, John and Kay, along with the grandparents who were such faithful members of the church, they had 3 young sons, Brad, who was 8, John Marshall, who was 5, and Wesley, who was 2. I entered their home and it was numb with overwhelming grief and disbelief. And it was early in my ministry. I had not encountered that until this point of a young child and his death. I was told by the grandmother that the parents were in the bedroom and I should go in. And there I found them sitting in the darkness. It was tomb-like at the foot of their bed. And I sat between them and we hugged and we cried together. And in that darkened room of despair, without our even realizing it, the comfort of the resurrected Jesus held us together in his embrace, in our great grief, in their unimaginable mourning. And I share this story on this Easter because just recently, while I was sitting in my office at St. John's, I received a card from Kay, John Marshall's mom. It was his 25th birthday, and it was the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of John Marshall's death. And she wrote in that card about what a difficult night that was and how difficult the years to come would be, but also acknowledging the peace of Christ she felt that night and through the difficult days to come. Kay said, and I quote her, "We were held together by the hope of the resurrection." Kay and her husband John, who now live in Florida, went on to have another son, not to replace John Marshall, but to continue forward in new life. And we can imagine that on that first Easter morning, there was tremendous grief and despair amongst the disciples and the family of Jesus. Tears filled Mary Magdalene's eyes as she approached the tomb. Mary, like all of the disciples, was completely unaware that soon they would be fully embraced by the resurrection of the Lord. Mary sees the stone rolled back from the tomb and finally gets up the courage to look in. And when she looks in, the angels speak to her and say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she believes that the authorities have come and taken away Jesus' body so that he's not somehow memorialized and another movement starts up around his body and his gravesite. And just then, Mary turns and Jesus is standing outside the tomb. But she does not recognize him in his resurrected glory. Instead, she mistakes him for the gardener until he calls her by name, Mary. As our opening hymn proclaimed, "Jesus Christ is risen today, our triumphant holy day, who did once upon the cross suffer to redeem our loss." Certainly the disciples and Mary Magdalene could not have known that theology yet that the hymn proclaims. They did not experience that Sunday morning as a triumphant day, nor had they realized what Christ had accomplished, what God had accomplished in Jesus Christ through his life, death on a cross, and now the resurrection. After all, let's remember historically, death on a cross was commonplace. It was the means by which the Romans executed those that were criminals, but also those that opposed their authority. Redemption and eternal life was not even in their vocabulary. The disciples knew about Jesus, his teachings, his miracles, his healing, his compassion and love. However, they did not yet fully know Jesus. Could it have been not only their love and concern for a proper burial that brought them back to the tomb, but also a deep desire to fully make sense of it, to fully know who is Jesus? And what is it today, Easter 2014, that draws you to the empty tomb, to the resurrection, to celebrate the love and the new life of Jesus Christ? All of you here, if you've lived long enough, and you certainly will have it, have stories of suffering as well. Bishop Hahn, in his address to the clergy at our renewal of our priestly vows this Holy Week at the cathedral, said, "You know, the story of Easter is not one where they lived happily ever after. All of those disciples, the apostles, all would meet a terrible death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. It was a long, hard road that they were to plow, if you will, to get us to this day where our church is full and we can worship in freedom in this great country. Life can be difficult. We will all have tough trials and times. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Listen to the poetic words of one of my favorite country musicians, Garth Brooks, that he penned and that he sang. There's a moment we all come to in our own time and our own space where all that we've done we can undo if our heart's in the right place. There's a ship out on the ocean at the mercy of the sea. It's been tossed about, lost and broken, wandering aimlessly. And God, somehow you know that ship is me. On a prayer, in a song, I hear your voice, and it keeps me hanging on. What you hang on to, what you long for, the deepest place in your heart and soul, no other person, no amount of possessions can fill. It's to know Jesus Christ. That's what got you up and got you here this morning. St. Augustine passionately spoke of our hearts being restless until they rest in God. Resting your heart in God. 20th century theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and a wonderful pastor as well, said, "God spoke a word over death, destroyed it, and resurrected Jesus Christ." He goes on to say, what does that mean? How can it be understood? A whole host of questions awaken in us. What about the resurrection of the body? What about the empty tomb? What about the appearances? He concludes, but only one thing is important. God declared himself in Christ and touched him with eternal life. Now Christ lives because God lives, and because God's love lives, that is enough for us. He concludes, we can brood over the how. We cannot change the that. We come here on Easter morning to celebrate the that. The that of which Bonhoeffer speaks. Like Mary Magdalene and the disciples, you want to know Jesus, to know him in a way that each and every part of your life, the joys and sorrows, the good days and the bad days, are hugged, if you will, by Christ's resurrection. And it is in looking at how Jesus died for us before he rose that we receive a clarity on how to begin to fully know him. Those that don't believe, the cross seems to be defeat, ultimate folly, humiliation. Instead, this was Jesus fully submitting himself to the will of God. You come to know Jesus when you fully submit to the will of God for your life. Is this a challenge that you are willing to accept today? When you submit to the will of God, let God direct your decisions. Let God direct your actions. You will wake up in the morning and not say, "Good God morning." Which those of you that know me as a non-morning person wants to wake up and say, "Good morning, God." When you seek God's will for your life, great possibilities for your life and faith become reality, because that is how you come to fully know Jesus Christ. So in the final analysis, submitting to the will of God, the will of Jesus Christ for your life, is to make an authentic claim to being a disciple. The Germans have a wonderful word for disciple. It's Nachfolger, which means literally to follow after. Jesus is not calling you just to belief, but rather to following after, to a knowing which moves you to action and changes your life. Perhaps this Easter day is that day for you. May you each know Jesus each day. Every decision, every action, every season of your lives. A blessed Easter from my heart and this congregation to each and every one of you. Amen.